Sing to the Savior a song of praise. Come, let us worship the Lord. Trust in His might, walk in His light. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Great are His wonders and grand His ways. Come, let us worship the Lord.
Heaven shall reign,
Jesus shall reign. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Let us worship the Lord, worship the Lord. Come, let us worship the Lord. Lift up your voice, sing and rejoice. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Son of Jehovah, yet Son of Man. Conquering lion, yet suffering lamb. Worship, worship, come let us worship the Lord forever. Worship, worship, come let us worship the Lord. Sing to the God of eternity. Come let us worship the Lord. He is the King, rise up and sing. Come let us worship, worship the Lord. Sing to the Victor of Calvary. Come let us worship the Lord.
Honor the Son,
Jesus as one. Come let us worship, worship the Lord. Let us worship the Lord, worship the Lord. Come let us worship the Lord. Lift up your voice, sing and rejoice. Come let us worship, worship the Lord. Son of Jehovah, yes, Son of Man. Conquering lion, yet suffering lamb. Worship, worship, come let us worship the Lord forever. Worship, worship, come let us worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord.
Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 5. Then the Levites, Jeshua and Kadmiel, Bani, Hashabniah, Sherebiah, Hodijah, Shebaniah, and Pethahiah said, "Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. And blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise."
Standing for prayer. And before I address you in prayer, I'm thankful to the congregation and to the Board of Deacons. They allow me to make this very difficult trip for family reasons in Argentina. And the Lord was with us, and His grace was very, very, very tender to us. And I found grace in many places that I have to touch the life of my own brother and cousins and so on. And so at least there is peace and there is understanding. I want to thank you for that. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you as a body of believers, and we are grateful that in this beautiful day here in California, we can enjoy the presence of God and nature, and many of us enjoy the presence of God in our heart. We are thankful, Father, that you are with us wherever we go. And we are grateful also that in spite of our problems, when we focus our life in you, you take care of us. And personally, my wife and I are grateful for the prayers of these people and for the love of this congregation toward us. Father, we have been 10 days in a very difficult, intense situation, but in each one of them, in each step of the way, you have helped us and clear the way, and we are grateful. Now, Father, this morning we have come to worship you and then to learn from you. And once again, Father, we look upon this scripture and we look upon this beautiful Psalm 3 in a moment of pain like no one can experience when a son rebels against his father. And then the peace of mind and the peace and the joy of David will encourage anyone who at this moment is in a stress in his life. We look forward to look to the scripture. We look forward to hear the choir to praise you with all power. It was good to hear at 9,000 miles away, to hear our choir and to hear our people and to hear the prayer meeting. Lord, how blessed we are with technology and how blessed we are with a church who opened the doors for worship and for prayer. Lord, we are blessed to have missionaries, and our brother Fred and Carol Lewis, Fred is improving, Father, and now he's renting a place where to be, and so we are thankful. Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Eusebio and Maritza Perez in Benal Madena, David and Denise Rode in Papua, in New Guinea, Giovanni and Barbara Avendano in Guatemala, and Marta Peretti in Argentina. Father, I was preaching right there on the drug addict center, and I was able to sit down with some of these fellows, and what I learned is scare us to death, how drugs goes into the elementary school in first grade and second grades, and they give to the students candy, and the candy is a drug. So when that student is 11 years old, he's already a drug addict. Father, how blessed we are that we support a missionary who teaches these people to recover. And then I was able to share the word of God and tell them the real recovery in our heart is God himself. Father, we are grateful for Danny and Miriam, as Danny is in Montreal today in Canada for the race. So God bless them. And the Christian Athletic Association in San Jose with the young people, and our own South Valley Pregnancy Care Center here in the city of Gilroy. Lord, may the sunshine of your presence and the encouragement of your word bless us today so that we can say what a God we have. Lord, bless our brother Greg and Mary as they travel home from Oregon today, that they may safely. We have been blessed by having a man who soon will be my associate pastor in full ordination, Father, because he is, and his wife is also. They are people of God. And I have been blessed by his company and by his love. And our church has been blessed by having a man that eventually one day will proceed with the work ahead. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for selecting your man. And then, Lord, we have been blessed by the provision of your people to carry on the gospel. And I thank you, Father, for the giver, and I thank you for the offering. In Jesus we pray and thank you. Amen.
You may be seated. Thank you.
Please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Psalms. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 345. We will be reading Psalm 3, verses 1 through 8. Would you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Psalm 3, all the verses. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you and praise you for such a great gift that you have given us, the gift of faith, and specifically belief on the Lord Jesus Christ. We have no confidence in the flesh and rely on you and your word for everything we are and do, for we can rely on no one greater. Help us to always remember this when trouble comes, for we know that you have already delivered us from sin and the curse of the law. And we know that everything works together for good for us, because you are our sovereign Lord. We pray now for your servant, Gabriel Otero, our teacher and pastor, whom you have brought back safely over thousands of miles. Bless him and guide him as he again exposes your word, and bless us with understanding and obedience. We pray the same for those listeners on the radio and internet and tape and CD. And if there be any listening who do not believe the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that they might be blessed with the gift of faith and justified and be saved from judgment and condemnation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Will you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother. And it is a pleasure to go back to the book of Psalms and this occasion as our brother have read, we'll direct our thoughts to Psalm 3 today. Just to refresh your mind, Psalm 1 talks about character, Christian character and unbelieving character. Psalm 2, remember, talks about belief. What are your beliefs? Psalm 3 talks about faith. Now, these Psalms and the one that follows, we are confronted with the trials and sorrows that God's ancient people experienced. Perhaps, I thought, it was written at a painful moment in King David's life when he had to flee from his own son, Absalom. As I faced 10 days ago a difficult moment in with the family in Argentina, I thought that there is no greater pain for any one of us than family problems. There is no greater pain than that. And God has provided a solution for us, or at least a hope, and at least an encouragement, as David writes, from family problems. As a rejected king, he described his trials and his testings and his final triumph over what happened through Jehovah, his God. The language is the story of human life. As you heard, Psalm 3 is just a story of human life. For the same trials and sorrows are common to all the saints of God who live in this world through the ages. And God has provided for us some resources that we can drive out some hope in moments, in difficult moments of our life. There are three characteristics that I want to communicate to you. Three steps, one, two, three, in this psalm so short of about eight verses. First, he describes the believer's trials, verse 1 and 2. He describes the trial of life right in family, the believer's trials, verses 1 and 2. And then in verses 3 and 4, he describes the believer's trust. My brother asked me in the hospital, who do you trust in moments, in difficult moments in your life? That's a good question for somebody who is sick. Who do you trust? And so the second description of the Psalms is the believer's trust. In moments, in difficult moments in your life, when you know that you have been betrayed and people have promised you something and the promise did not come through, who do you trust? So here is the psalm, verses 3 and 4, the believer's trust. And then the psalm finishes, as always David does, the believer's triumph. Verses 5 to 8, he described the process in his mind whereby, even though the situation remained tough, you will see it in Psalm 4 and 5, even though the way is not clear, there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and David sees the light. And that light is God. And so let's look on it and let's work in the scripture. And if you are new to us, we work in the Bible and we give you the page number so that you can look upon the Bible as well. It was a blessing in South America not only to be a part of the family and trying to put peace within the family, but to preach four times in 10 days between court and between hospitals, and to preach in the dog addict center, to sit with people who tells me, now I know, God, that this happened. Excuse me, in my life. And then to preach to the ladies in Martha's church, and then to the people about three times, and they glue to you and they don't want to leave you because you share the Bible with them. And they ask me, how in the world you know the Bible? Well, it's very easy. You read it. And if you read it for 35 years and you get a pencil and a paper and you write the topic of what you wrote, then you have it there for tomorrow. But if you do not read the Bible is not going to come to you. We know that. All right. Number one, David is in trouble. And here's the believer's trial, verses 1 and 2. I thought to myself, why we believers should have trials? The psalmist answered this question by pointing out the trials comes because three reasons. Number one, the oppression of the enemy. Look at in verse 1. Lord, Psalm 3, verse 1. How are they increased that trouble me? The oppression of the enemy. To understand this, please move your Bible to 2 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 15, page 211. 2 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 15. David said, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? There was no one trouble, there were many. And here are the records. 2 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 15. And Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel with him. Ahithophel was the high priest. Everybody, it was no trouble from Absalom alone. You know, you got a troublemaker, he's not alone. He get his troublemakers with him. You get one troublemaker, and that troublemaker get another troublemaker, and all the troublemakers were there again. The oppression of the enemy is what causes really trouble. An overwhelmed trouble that David cannot handle himself. He cannot call his army and defend himself. An overwhelming trouble about King David's power. Have you been like that? Where you say, well, what am I going to do? before going to the trip, I told my wife, I don't know what I'm going to do there, but at least I'm going to listen and find out what's going on. An overwhelming trouble. Then trials come because of the overwhelming power of the enemy beyond our means. Secondly, the opposition of the enemy. If you go back to Psalm 3 and verse 1 said, many, the second part of verse 1 says, many are they that rise up against me. Not only just ones that you can handle, then there's a second, there is a third, there is a fourth. Many are there. An overwhelming magnitude. If you go back to Psalm, 2 Samuel 16 again, in page 211, and look at in verse 5, in 2 Samuel 16, verse 5. And when the King David, and when King David came to Bahurim, behold, then came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera, and came forth and cursed a steel as he came. Here's the king of Israel, a steel king in Israel, and a man drops from the multitude and cursed him on his face. The opposition have an overwhelming magnitude that works you through. Listen, you may be able to handle one piece of the trouble, and then you don't finish to handle that piece, and then comes the next one. I tell you, what we went through during this week was unbelievable. We're trying to find peace and accord in here, and then we're going to visit the other, and it was a revolution. And we learned then, little by little, that it was not a physical trouble. It was not a mental trouble. It was a hate trouble. It's just hard. It's just hard. In David, that was the problem with David. He, not only his son was the trouble, but a multitude of people that hate him and curse him. So the trials come because of the oppression of the enemy. He wants to conquer you and put you down. He opposes you with everything that he has. And also they have their own opinion. And their own opinion is overwhelmed. Look at, well, back to Psalm chapter 3 and verse 2. Look at the opinion of the enemy in Psalm. These, they said, many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. There was a moment that we sit down in a kitchen with friends and with family and we said, do you call yourself a believer? Raquel stood up and said to my sister-in-law, second sister-in-law, do you call yourself a believer? And then, man, that put silence on the room. I tell you, look at what they said. People murmured and said, there is no help for him in God. You're not a believer. Who are you? That's what the enemy will do for you, to destroy your faith. Now, what do you do in moments like that? Well, if you go to one book before the book of Psalm, in Job chapter 2, and in verse 9, page 328, you find really an example of how you handle a pressure like that. David is under pressure from his family. He's under heavy pressure. And in chapter 2 of Job, verse 9, page 328, the Bible described the problem on this man. Then said his wife, remember, a disaster came into his life. He lost everything he's had. And then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thy integrity and curse God and die? Why you believe in God? Everything go wrong in your life. Now, how you handle with somebody tell you that? Look at verse 10. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women that speak it. If I was Job, I said, you, and I use other words for her. But look at when a man is a believer, he's under control. You speak like a foolish woman. He even don't call his wife an unbeliever. He said, you speak like a foolish woman. What shall we receive of God at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. It's just so powerful, so powerful. And people say, well, how can you handle this? How can you handle situations where the oppression, the opposition, and the opinion of people are overwhelming you? What kind of resources do you have? I want to give you an information. You know, some people are Christians, and they do not have all the information of your weapons that you have within you. If you move your Bible to 2 Timothy 1:7, page 701, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, page 701, you got the information that a resource that is within you. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God have not given us, given as a gift, the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind of self-control. A mind who digests what happened, cool off, and analyze, and knows what to do. That's a believer. And you don't need to go to college for that. You don't need to come and take a Bible class in Bethel Baptist Church at 3 p.m. What the Bible said, God has not given us. When God placed the Holy Spirit in you, it's not just a theological position that you have, the presence of God in your heart, in the form of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is loaded. It's loaded with grace. It's loaded with all kinds of dynamites like love, self-control. The Holy Spirit gives you self-control. And even though people can blow up, you just calmly want to discern what does God have in this issue. And that's exactly what David, that first he described, he did an analysis of the situation. And he said, the oppression is overwhelming. The opposition, I cannot handle. And the opinion of the people, boy, I even cannot listen or I go crazy. Now, that's how terrible it is. And you handle in a way with God. If you want to handle by yourself, you cannot make it. You will be part of the crowd. You just handle with God. So now, let's see verses 3 and 4, where David finds his trust. What are the next steps? First step, you analyze the situation. Soon you will be studying the book of Nehemiah in Sunday school, and you will be studying how to solve problems and difficult moments of life, like Nehemiah did, without any college preparation. How did Nehemiah did it? And he became governor, like the governor that we have today. He was a movie actor. All right? So Nehemiah was an FBI agent. That's all. You will study that and see this. The believer's trust. Let's go back to Psalm 3, verse 3 and 4. Here's what he says, verse 3, the beginning of verse 3. There is safety in Jehovah. Look at verse 3. But thou, Lord, Lord, remember in capital letters means Jehovah. But thou, Jehovah, are a shield for me. There is safety in Jehovah. Thou art a shield for me. What that means, you know, each time you read the Bible, you don't understand a term. What that means, the Bible explains it if you follow. What is a shield in the Bible for the believer? Well, you need to go now to the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, page 691. Book of Ephesians chapter 6, and verse 16, page 691. What is a shield? For thou, Lord, art my shield. Would that mean that God put a blanket in front of him? No. Look at what Ephesians 6:16 says. Above all, take the shield of faith. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Shield for the believer in the Bible is your faith. Take the shield of faith. Put that shield of faith in front of you. When the enemy arrives
like we study, opposition, oppression, opinions, when everything arises like a mountain, put within yourself the shield. The shield is put yourself in faith. Now, how do I get that shield? You know this. If you go to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, page 667, Romans 10 and verse 17, page 667, the Bible tells us how do we get the shield in our life. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God or the word of Christ. Doesn't matter what some Bibles translate. Romans 10, 17. As you read the Bible, without you knowing, without you doing anything on your part, without you memorizing anything, without you taking any course in any place, there is a shield that is being built up in your mind, and that's your faith. And that's your faith. You will not take decisions by yourself. You will not say, this man hurt me in this way, I'm going to do this. You will not do that. You will go to God and say, God, in this situation, how do I respond? That's the shield. That's the shield. It's the shield. And David in Psalm 3 and in verse 3 said, but thou, Lord, art my shield for me. Jehovah, you are, whatever you said in your word, that's my protection. That is my protection. The director of a mental hospital, the largest in Argentina, of the police force, told me, it is very nice of you that you have come here. I did a 70 pages thesis on what the people, when people write to me, on when people call me, I write down in a paper whatever they don't say. So then I have 70 pages of what they don't say to me that could happen. And when he saw that, he said, that was very kind of you. He said, it's no kind of me. I'm just doing what God commands me to do. God? Yeah. God in the Bible said, if you don't take care of your family, you are worse than an infidel. You're a dog. And he crossed his face and looked at Raquel and he said, it is amazing that God said that. He didn't know what the Bible was. You can have 20 PhD degrees and you don't know God. You don't know anything. See, the Jehovah was his safe, the shield. See, there is the faith of God is your shield. It's not just something you know and the other people don't know. It's what you know in the Bible. It's your shield. Let me give you a simple example. Young people, ladies, men, young men, you're young at the age of 15, 14, 16 or 17 or 20 or 23. And you say, when am I going to find my companion for life? Well, what is your shield to not make a mistake and get the wrong guy? The Bible gives you only once instruction on that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 18, the Bible said, don't look for an unbeliever, because what union have Belial, the name in Arab of Satan, with God? So if you come up with your parents and said, I have this nice boy or I have this nice girl, the first question your parents will say is, what church they go? Well, Jacqueline came to me and said, I have a friend. A friend? Say yes. So grandma and I said, sit down right here. I got the phone. She said, Danny, is that true? Oh, yeah. I said, Miriam. Oh, daddy, relax. I said, no, you spell the thing right here at my table. And poor Jacqueline had to spend 2 hours with me. And I want to know that he's a believer. See, he goes to church. I don't care if he goes to church. How do you know this fellow that you call his your friend is a believer or not? Relax, she said. As you can see, I was a little off of myself. A father should be a tiger for his children, don't we? I encourage you to be a tiger for your daughters and for your son. I don't care if he's blonde and blue eyes, and if he dressed like an American or like a Japanese. I don't care. But I care if it's in his heart is God. Because if in his heart is God, then that's the shield ladies, that's the shield of your protection. So the believers trust Jehovah, the Bible. So if you, just for any other reason, just read the Bible to protect yourself. Secondly, there is sufficiency in Jehovah. If you go back to Psalm 3, look at in verse 3, it says, Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, my glory. There is sufficiency, my glory. Well, that means glory. Of course, what the Bible means for glory is not what we mean for glory. You know what glory means? Let's go to Exodus, please. Chapter 24, page 51 in your Bible. Exodus chapter 24. And if you go to Exodus chapter 24, in verse 16, 15 and 16, you understand what glory is. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount, and the glory of the Lord abode upon the mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days, and the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. So the glory is the presence of God. That's what glory is. And David in Psalm 3 said, God, you are my glory. You are my presence. You are in me. And if you want to see how serious it is, you move your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, page 680. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6 and page 680, and you will see how serious is this. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. Look at what the Bible says. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's what we proclaim, Jesus Christ. There is no other way to see God, because the glory of God is no longer in a cloud in Israel, leading Israel. No, sir. The glory of God is in Christ Jesus. And when Christ Jesus is in you, you have the presence of God. And when you have the presence of God, you have the glory of God in your heart. Sometimes we don't know how much we have, don't we? We feel alone. Don't feel alone. So there is safety in Jehovah. There is sufficiency in Jehovah. And there is support in Jehovah. If you go back to Psalm 3, in verse 3, he said, But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. The lifter of my head. How can God do that in Jesus Christ? Well, let's go back to Hebrews 2:18, page 705. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18, page 705. You are the lifter of my head. Why? The Bible says about Jesus Christ, for in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he's able to succor, to help those who are under trial. Hebrews 2:18. Jesus was under trial, and he was able to help. He's able to help you under trial. One of the greatest things the Apostle Peter said in his first letter is that Jesus never reviled, never answered people in a bad manner. So there is trust. And David found his trust not in what he knew, not in his experience of life. He found his trust in Jehovah. Because he said there is safety in Jehovah, you know, his glory will be in him, his presence. There is sufficiency. I need the presence of God. That's all what I need. And I need a support. And the support is from a God who understands who you are. Now, we see the trial. The family, one of the sons, Absalom, by the way, the Bible say in 1 Kings, that David never say no to Absalom. He was too cute when he was little. You know, the baby was so cute, so nice, you never say no. The baby cries, oh, how nice he cries, right? Stop it, you know? Things like that. So when he became a boy of 20, he said, I take the kingdom by myself. Then he said, where should I go? He has a lot of counselors. His own counselor, Ahithophel, was against him. The person you trust more, you get a lawyer, and you think your lawyer is for you, and then you discover, like I did in court, these lawyers doing nothing. I said, what are your hours of work? Oh, we lawyers in Argentina work from 12 to 4. And the rest of the day, we're lawyers. I'm going to go crazy. Raquel, hold me. Quiet, quiet. You got your lawyer to do this paperwork and this paperwork? And he's not doing anything. I said, I do it myself. So you can. You have to be a lawyer. Unbelievable. What do you trust? You trust in God. You trust in God. Oh, that's nice. That's theoretical. You know, theory. There's no theory. It's practicality. David said, God's going to do it. Now look at the victory. The believer's triumph. We saw the believer's trials. We saw the believer trust. Now the believer's triumph. The peace of God. Verse 5. I laid me down and sleep. What? What do you mean, David? Your son is with the high priest. Your son is with all the people in town. The people in town curse you when you walk. And you lay down and sleep without an aspirin and without something to put you to sleep? David, you're going to put the bankruptcy, all the chemicals companies. What happened with you? What is your problem? God explained that in Isaiah 26 and in verse 3. Here is the condition where you can lay down and sleep. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. The Bible said in Isaiah 26 and in verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusted in thee. You see that? How wonderful. If you trust God, you can go to sleep. You don't need a pill for sleeping and your problems. You trust God. God is going to do what he wants us to do. You remember the story in the New Testament? They put Peter in jail and a soldier beside him. And he fall asleep. Peter, they're going to finish with your head tomorrow morning. But you remember this story in Acts 12? The angel of the Lord, the presence of Christ come and said, Peter, get out, we go. And even the Bible said a light came in. Even the angel have a flashlight. And they walk through. When you trust the Lord, you can sleep. Comfort the believer. The peace of God. Then going back to Psalm 3, the power of God. Verse 7. Arise, O Lord, and save my soul, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the jaw. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. See, the past tense, you notice the past tense? Wait a minute, David. We're talking about the present. I'm in problem. What do you say God has done this? That's what faith does. That's what faith does. The victory was won in Calvary. Revelation chapter 12 tells us that Satan was cast down from heaven by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can read it in your home in Revelation 12 verse 10 and 11. And Satan was cast down by the blood of Christ at Calvary. Satan is gone. He's still causing troubles, thinking that he is somebody, but he's nobody. He is nobody. The power of God. You maybe have a tremendous opposition like Satan does. Like a big, big, big thing. But he's gone. He had no power with God. Before the cross, he will go up to heaven, and the Bible said, and accuse the believers. Oh, look at so-and-so. He called himself a believer. Look at what he's doing. The Bible said his job was to accuse the believers. But at the cross, Satan was cast down, fall in, completely out of the presence of God. So your enemy is not as big as you think. The peace of God, the power of God, and now the praise of God. Look at verse 8. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Doesn't belong to a church, doesn't belong to you, doesn't belong to anybody. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Thy blessing be unto thy people. Amazing. Salvation, the praise of God. Please, move your Bible to 1 Peter 1, 7, page 7, 13. 1 Peter 1, 7, page 7, 1-3. 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith be much more precious than gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Your faith is going to be tried. Your faith is going to be put on the spot. Your faith is going to be really move on, my brother and sister. More you want to serve the Lord, more Satan trying to scare you. Indeed. But God said, come on, behave like a Christian so that at the coming of Christ, your faith will shine. What's the conclusion? The conclusion is one word in that verse 8. One word in that verse 8. Do you see it? At the end of verse 8, it's part of the original, the Bible said, Shelah. Shelah means many things, but the major meaning of Shelah is relax. Relax. Now, when you read the Bible and you see the Shelah and you see the relax, you have to read again the paragraph. Why should I relax? And David writes down, and it's amazing, and he tells us his trials, he tells us the test of his faith, and he tells us the trust that he has, and then he already told us he went to sleep without any pill, and then he said, relax! Now, it doesn't say it to him. God forced him to write Shelah for you and me. He's already relaxing. He went to bed in verse 5, so he don't have to relax. He's a relaxing boy. But you and I did not. You and I got, what am I going to do? I have these things and I have the other things. Relax. Relax. We went to court, or we went to the hospital, we went to see people to try to make peace. I arrived back home in Martha's home at 8 or 9 o'clock. And Martha said, how things go, Gabriel? Were great words. How things go, Gabriel? And there were days I can say I'd see the mountain a little bigger. But she said, remember, it was 10:30 in the night. Steak with chorizo and eggs. Oh, yeah, where? Right here, 3 blocks from here. Only $3. And here we go. You have to make a line. You don't get until 11 or 11:30 in the restaurant. And it was 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm eating my chorizos, big steak like that, thick like this, with eggs and enjoying. I forgot about the problem. Wife, it's good to have a wife who's a companion. It's good to have a sister-in-law who's calm and tender and loving. It's good. Heals your heart. It's good to have women like that, godly, who brings a 0-degree temperature, a heater to your room. No, don't change yourself yet. Let this go for 20 more minutes so the whole thing is warm. Melts the heart of a man to pieces and give you strength for tomorrow. You see, Christianity is beautiful. When we behave like Christians, the victory is already won. May God help you in your trials, just to imitate David. That at the end of your trial, you can say, yes, I've been in despair. I've been not knowing what's my future, but I know that God knows, and I'm going to trust him. Let's pray. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you. Because you tell us today, Shelah, some of my good brothers and sisters in church, including myself, are or have been in trial. We all have a trial of life. Help us to be like David so that we can Shelah ourselves. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Stand, please. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up the countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.